listening to 91.9 FM KPTZ, Port Townsend. Treasures and Pleasures, or Pleasures and Treasures, the interchangeably monikered show. And today I have a woman I've been trying to drag into this booth since I started the show. It is R. Chris Wilson, who lived in Ithaca, New York, worked at Cornell University Library, and encouraged her husband to build a portable yurt to add fantasy and flexibility to their lives. You're going to learn so much more about Chris. We only know her as our library guru, the most wonderful person formerly at the Port Townsend Library, but here's so much more to Chris. She applied to all school districts in Alaska that had trees and was hired by the Matanuska Susitna Borough to teach anthropology, international relations, and world history. Soon, Sarah Palin would reside there in Wasilla. Leo Lucas, a homesteader, 1935, let them put up the yurt in his horse pasture. She left the relative comfort of Palmer to go to the Arctic Circle to write grants and teach in the Athabascan village, Fort Yukon. Steve was a social worker, that's her husband, and they lived in a cabin and learned a lot in 2 years. They wanted to have kids, so they moved to Fairbanks, Alaska, built a log house on the Hot Springs Road, worked for the state as bilingual coordinator, reading specialist, curriculum consultant, joined a librarian-led storytellers guild called Tailspinners, and put on shows. Oh man, our Chris is a multi-purpose person. Hi, Chris, by the way.
Hi, Marcia. I'm so happy to be here and to talk on your show, Treasures and Pleasures. Thanks for inviting me.
And thanks for coming. Finally. They danced a lot of squares and contras. They raised 2 sons. They camped, hiked, floated, paddled, spiritualized with the friends at Hidden Hill and Unitarians and Methodists and Jewish congregation. Something for everyone in the family. Then, off to Japan on a Fulbright study grant, and decided afterward that it was fun to travel and be in different cultures again. So they decided to apply to work at an international school. They left in 2002 for Belgrade, Serbia. I think these people like to bop around. What do you think, Chris?
Well, we did spend 24 years in Fairbanks, so we decided that it was good to be stable while you're raising children. And now I'm here in Port Townsend, and I have no plans to leave.
But you like bopping.
I do. I like to travel, yes.
And now you travel to the grandchild. Tell us about the grandchild.
I have one grandson. His name is Theodore Grant Wilson. He was born on President's Day 2 years ago. And he is the joy of all our lives. You know, as any grandchild is. He's wonder. He's the future. And we love playing with him.
And you get to see him a fair amount.
We do. My son and daughter-in-law just came up this past week for a family wedding and enjoyed the Wooden Boat Festival and enjoyed just hanging on the beach. We were so happy that we had those 2 days of summer this weekend.
It's nice that Port Townsend is a destination point for people and you happen to live there, so it draws your people to you.
Marcia, that was part of the plan. My parents also decided to retire somewhere that would be fun to go to, and so I took them up on that idea. But Port Townsend for us was somewhere that would be sort of like Alaska in a way, except a lot warmer. You know, I really wanted to garden for more than 2 months a year, even though my Brussels sprouts and my cabbages were huge. I wanted to be here, and we also wanted to be 2 hours away from a national park. That was part of what we were looking for. And we also wanted to have fun and funky people to play with. And Port Townsend certainly has fit the bill for us.
Everywhere you go, you trip on another grandparent, too, because there's a lot of our generation is up here and bringing their grandchildren out. We get to meet them all.
But you know what I heard this week? Yay for Port Townsend. They're opening another kindergarten class because they've had more registrations this year. And so the U40s, that's the under 40 group, is growing. Hooray.
Oh, we love the energy of the under 40s. And we love the energy of us old farts connecting with the under 40s and really upbringing. But I want to go back to you lived and worked in a diplomatic villa on the hill overlooking the Danube at the point that you were a library director at the International School of Belgrade. So you've really gotten around this world.
I'm really thinking about that a lot this week because I have been on that border between Serbia and Hungary. And it's hard enough for an American to cross that, much less a migrant Serbian or migrant Syrian. People, when they hear that we lived and worked in Serbia, think that it was a hardship. And it really wasn't, because we were working at the international school. It had been closed almost for 20 years during the troubles, which I call the troubles in Serbia. The first day, I remember, we were in a taxi going down the main boulevard, Knez Mihailova, and the taxi driver said, "And look, your President Clinton bombed this building, and look at this." But he was very cheery, and he said, "But we are so happy that you Americans are here now." We did. We were well treated. We made a lot of Serbian friends. And I could go on and on about our experiences there. But it wasn't a hardship. It was really a learning experience. The library there had not been really used, and no new books have been purchased. So I got a big budget. I opened a library there. And then we also expanded to a middle school library and a high school library. So by the time I left, there were three libraries all being used by 350 children. It was exciting and it was very worthwhile.
And you were given a free hand to expand and to start creative programs. That's the most exciting, that you were trusted and allowed, well, not allowed, but encouraged to do what you could do for the well-being of that reading community.
Well, I was a knowledgeable and coach there at the school, and we have a really good knowledgeable team here in Port Townsend High School. They always go to state. We also became an international baccalaureate school, and so I was part of that training and helped the school become certified as an international baccalaureate school. And that meant teaching a lot of kids research. We had children from all over the world, because at that time, a lot of NGOs, non-governmental organizations, were coming into Serbia to help rebuild it. So United Nations, UNICEF, World Trade, all kinds of banking institutions. We had Swiss, French families. We had families from Africa and China and Italy and England and Australia. And then we also had Serbian tennis players.
For the listeners that don't know what Knowledge Bowl is, tell them a little bit about it.
Well, Knowledge Bowl is an interscholastic competition, and it is middle school and high school, and so schools compete. They create teams, and then the teams practice for most of the school year, and then they go to competitions, and they're asked incredibly difficult questions, and it's like a Jeopardy situation where it's a you have to hit the buzzer, and there might be 4 to 6 teams competing to answer the questions.
Now let's go flip to your love of gardening, which is a large part of you, and you were saying how it's so much easier to do a garden here. Talk a little bit about, where did you first connect with gardening in your life? Way back. Take us way back.
Okay, well, my parents were gardeners. They had rhododendrons. They had roses. We lived in Canada along the shores of Lake Ontario near Toronto. After I graduated from college, we soon went to Alaska. And Alaska was wonderful for annuals and for vegetables. But in terms of perennial gardening and having a garden that was similar to the ones here or in England, it was an impossibility. And so when I came here, one of the first things I did was join Master Gardeners or take the Master Gardening courses. And I decided that what I really wanted to do was not hire a landscaper, but really learn myself. I went to the library. I read Mary Robson, who is now a member of our community. And I also read many books about naturalistic gardening here in the Northwest. Of course, I went to Far Reaches and talked to Sue and Kelly. So I started to work on developing my own landscape and my own garden, which had a lot of native plants and also things that do well here. That's how it went, and I'm very pleased with my garden. It's a little bit wild and crazy, a little bit like me. It's a wonderful haven.
Well, it's nice because you think outside the box in all venues, and you've recently had a hip replacement, but you're back in your garden. How soon after they replaced your hip did you jump back into the earth?
Well, I spent a lot of time on my front porch, and many of my friends, including you, Marcia, came to visit me and sit on the porch. I found that what I did was went outside and pointed with my cane at things that needed to be done, and my wonderful husband, Steve Wilson, came to the rescue. As you know, this summer we had to do water. We had to water every other day, but I tried to plant a Mediterranean garden, which doesn't need water at all, but this year we found that we did need to water some things, especially the species rhododendron from China and Tibet. They needed a little cool water once in a while.
So back to what I'm just going in every different direction because you have such a full life and you do so much. But I first met you, of course, as many of us did, through the library. And what I noticed about what you did at the library was there was always, you made books come alive. There were always community-related activities connected to your love of books and your love of learning and your love of sharing all of that. And where did that come from in you?
Well, I think it was so much, I spent a lot of time in the schools in Fairbanks. And so I did a lot of presentations. And so part of working in the library, writing a library curriculum there, was talking to teachers about books, going to conferences, meeting authors, presenting them to children and adults. And I was very connected with the Fairbanks North Star Borough Library and the library community there. They were my best friends. We created a storytelling guild, as you mentioned in the introduction. And so what we did is we did both adult storytelling and children's storytelling. And we found stories, and then we did shows with music and stories that would appeal to all ages. And sometimes we rented out this bar called the Palace Saloon. And so that was our adult venue. And we asked some of our friends that played music, and they came along and played in the intermissions and the breaks, and then we did stories from all over the world. And those are some really good memories.
You're listening to 91.9 FM KPTZ, Port Townsend. I am interviewing Chris Wilson for Treasures and Pleasures, Pleasures and Treasures, the interchangeably monikered show. Chris is indeed a real treasure for this community. This is Marcia Pearlstein, your friendly neighborhood interviewer, and back to Chris about the whole notion of making reading come alive. Where does that come from in you?
Well, I like to listen to people. When I'm talking to them about books, I like them to tell me what is a recent book that they've read or an author that they enjoy before I try to recommend something else. So I'm just very enthusiastic about authors and books. It's pretty hard for me to find something that I don't like. And so, and then I like to find things that I think that my audience will enjoy as well. And here in the Northwest, wow, are we rich here in authors and people that love books? This is such a literary part of the country. There's people that I've interviewed for KPTZ that are from the Northwest, and people that we've brought here to talk at the library, both nonfiction and fiction. And so I am really looking forward to continuing that on the radio station. I plan to be more involved at KPTZ, do more interviews, and maybe be involved with more programming there, both news and literary, and whatever they decide they need me to do. I'm going to be more present at KPTZ. So I may have left the library, but I certainly haven't left the world of this community. I'm also a member at Quimper Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, and so I do a lot there as well. And the community chorus is a great love of mine, and so I'll be singing. And hopefully, when my hip is better, I will rejoin the dance community, the Contra Dance and Square community up at the Grange.
So what are some of the things you do at Quimper?
Well, at Quimper, there's so many things to be involved with. First of all, there's a Cares and Concerns Committee, and so I am a member of that. There is also a Justice Committee. There's a lot of adult learning programs, and so I like to attend those. Other than the Sunday services, that building is hopping all the time. And so they are going to be bringing authors as well for adult learning programs. And so I will be involved with that, helping to facilitate those adult learning programs at QUF.
Those are wonderful programs. I've interviewed a few of those people as well. And it is a poppin' place. Mm-hmm. So you have kind of a personal history of involvement. You don't just read a book and let it sit on the table. You connect the book to people and to experiences. And so
I try to do that. It is very easy to spend many, many hours and days immersed in a book. And so that I know that that isn't necessarily good for me. So I try to talk to people and get out as much as I can. You've got to read, you've got to move, you've got to communicate.
I get a kick out of becoming friends with a librarian, I have to tell you, Chris. I always tell my own personal anecdotes. Well, Miss Merchant, my librarian in seventh grade, because I used to talk in the library, and you're not supposed to do that, used to say that I was going to die of the disease talkatism. Now, public, that's not going to happen. You watch, listen to these waves. If you hear of my death, it won't have been from talkatism. And that my forgetteries were enlarging, she told me. So I had seventh grade Alzheimer's, and that was the librarian I was accustomed to. Then there came Chris, who your whole thing is you get so enthusiastic that the rest of us want to come along for the ride. Mm-hmm. And so tell us, there's a lot of book groups in this town. Tell us about what book groups have to offer the members and the participants of these.
Well, a lot of people have asked me about how do I find a book group? And, you know, book groups sometimes are very private and they're created by like-minded souls. And so it's pretty hard to find open book groups. But if you start at a book group like the QUF book group, they have three, or the library book group, there's one at the Port Townsend Library and also the Jefferson County Library, then you start to meet people. Oh, and also the University Women's Club has many book groups that start off, you can sign up in the fall. So if you start out at one of these public reading groups or book groups, then you can meet like-minded people and maybe branch out into a private one that meets in a home or meets at a pizza place, wherever you want to, or somewhere for a glass of wine or a walk on the beach. So there are more book groups than you can shake a stick at. They're always forming. Some dissolve, some keep going for 20 years. You just never know.
Sometimes people put up signs at co-op, different places. This is a good example of what I resonate to in you in terms of having the library not be a stuffy place. Because in Community Reads, you, in order to give people an opportunity to connect with the book, you had discussion groups in a range of venues, everything from tea or wine at Pippa's all the way to Northwind Gallery, to all kinds of places, and that drew different groups of people that would otherwise not necessarily step into a library, but they enjoy dealing with books out in the world.
Well, now I really can't take credit for that template because my mentor, Teresa Percy, really developed the community read that's being used all over the state of Washington by having these discussion groups take place in a variety of places. Also, Humanities Washington, really, in order to get a grant from Humanities Washington, they want to see you reach out into the community. And I think the Port Townsend Library under Teresa Percy really succeeded in having a model community read for the whole state. And so we're being imitated all over the place. Whatcom County, Kitsap County, Spokane, public libraries, everywhere is using our model.
I'm glad you raised the name Teresa Percy, because when I came to town, she was the head of the library, and she is the one that got me involved with community read, and then I met you through her, and yes, she did. She really kicked that off, and then you really took it to the next level, and the two of you were an incredible team, leading me to my usual thing. What would you say to people coming into town now and wanting to connect with a variety of reading experiences? How would you have them start out?
I would, first of all, have them visit our local wonderful used and new bookstores downtown. I mean, for a town of this size, to have a place like Writing Workshop is just amazing. And William James. William James often has books in boxes out on the street, and go in and talk to Anna Quinn about all the books and writing groups that she has as well. There's also Northwind Gallery has authors and poetry readings. There are groups at the library, and you can find those on the library calendars. And I would also suggest that this is a place where if you sit on a bench overlooking the ocean, you can strike up a conversation about books. This is a maritime community. This is an arts community. But it is also a community of writers and readers and poets. And they're everywhere.
And let's not forget Cafe Society over a cup of coffee or tea. You're sitting there with your book. Somebody walks over and will tell you why you shouldn't finish reading that one. It's a piece of ish. Or it's the one, you know, I call it, when I go downtown, I call it going to Europe. Because you know how you have that mentality when you travel, like you're just going to have conversations. And you do right here with people you don't know, people you do know. And it's that's what makes Camp Townsend the place that it is.
I mean, you know, Fort Worden and Centrum also, those, you can go hear authors for free at, you know, during the writing conference in the summer. That's also wonderful. There's just many opportunities here. The Maritime Center brings in people. I would also suggest a good way to meet people is to go to Art Walk. It's easy to strike up a conversation on Art Walk and stopping by the Rose, single or not, there's always someone to talk to there, and Pippa's and everywhere. It's just really a wonderful place to be.
Here, there, and everywhere. And so we are getting ready to wind up. Is there anything that I haven't asked you about yourself that the listener needs to really hear? Because I want everybody to know the full Chris Wilson.
I'd like to say that I'd always wanted to be able to play an instrument and sing. And it was one of those things that just never really got going in my life. And I always hung out with musicians and kind of hummed along and sang along. I was in choruses here and there, choirs here and there. But it really wasn't until about 6 years ago that I bought a guitar and started to learn chords and play. And the same thing is true of my husband. He also, you know, wanted to play. So now we play with a variety of people. We play together, and we're not very good. It's such a joy in our lives. And so I would say to everyone, no matter what your wish is, it's never too late to start. So just go ahead and find someone to be your mentor and jump right in.
That's a very inclusive, which is the other piece of your spirit thing that you do, which is you make everybody feel anything's possible. And it's true. We just start somewhere because this is Camp Townsend, after all. You have been listening to Treasures and Pleasures, Pleasures and Treasures, the interchangeably monikered show. our biggest treasure in the library formerly at KPTZ, currently in our town for quite a while now, and you will see her in a number of various activities ranging from music to reading to gardening to just filling her soul with the spirit of this place. This is our Chris Wilson. Thank you for being with us today, Chris.
It's my pleasure, Marcia.
And you sure are a treasure, Chris. This has been
PTZ
91.9 FM. Very special thanks to our on-site engineer, because this has been done today outside the booth. And that is Mike Schlexer, and he is our editor par excellence. And I'd like to thank Nora Petrich, our station manager, Larry Stein, our program director. Go gently. If you can't go gently, go as gently as you can. Until next time.